This episode of the show is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best heated clothing, powered by a rechargeable battery, heat on demand, at the touch of a button. It's perfect for anyone on your holiday gift list, and you can save 20% off your order when you go to actionheat.com/TMS. That's actionheat.com/TMS.
No.
Coming up on TMS, there are no good nachos left.
Dog park etiquette.
How did that phone get up there?
Utah kids like to eat or like to fly.
kind of jumped
a word there.
That's all right.
Eat a fly.
Eat a Lego and start the clock.
Kids and their secret language.
Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
If I threw you out of a speeding ice truck and then ran over your head, you wouldn't be normal either.
Diplomatic immunity.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. Exercising demons since 2000.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to TMS. It is TMS for November 26th, 2018. Scott Johnson here, Brian Ibbett there. Post-Thanksgiving, Ibbett and Johnson here. How you feeling?
That's right. I'm good. I feel good. We've eaten most of our turkey. I did a cover-thon. I'll talk about that in a few minutes.
Yeah? Did you feel like did the food and everything work out? I know you guys held it there. Did it all go the way you wanted?
You know what? It all went well. I'll tell a little story and then because I see you get things here I want to get to.
Sure.
But I'll tell a little story about preparing the house for company coming.
Oh, okay.
And I'm amazed. We had a pretty drama-free Thanksgiving. We had 17 people in our house, and amazingly enough, there was little to no drama. There was some grandmother fighting.
Really?
Some grandmother jealousy, yes. My late stepdad's mother and my mother's mother.
Yeah.
My late stepdad's mother, Carol, is fantastic. I mean, both of my grandmothers are fantastic, but Carol is great. She's super nice and is the most generous, warm, wonderful person you'd ever meet. Mm. Really is. Like she still plays golf 3 days a week, and she doesn't use a golf cart. Like she's 87 and she just walks along the course. She doesn't hit far.
That's great. That's awesome.
But she's Brian out and about.
Yeah.
My mother's mother is in a assisted living facility, mm-hmm. and has been less active her whole life, but also has had some medical issues and things like that. And she's jealous of Carol and how active she is and how much my mom still likes her, even though my stepdad passed away a few years ago.
And so
we still occasionally get the "what's she doing here" kind of thing from one grandmother. It's like grandmother dome. One grandmother enters, or two grandmothers enter, one grandma leaves kind of thing.
It's been a while since I've seen a good grandma fight, so this sounds interesting. I mean, yeah, did they go at it? Did they actually have like a...
No. This was kind of under her breath, under her Hungarian breath.
Ah, gotcha.
My Hungarian grandma.
It's even worse. It's a little worse when they won't just get it out in the open sometimes. Sometimes it's better if they just talked or said something out loud. At least you have a story to tell. Instead, they're just kind of grumbling it to themselves, you know?
Yeah, and the weird thing is they're great. You know, once they get started and they're sitting there at the table and food's done and the kids are over watching video games and the adults are over in another part watching the football game and whatever, and all the grandmothers are kind of hanging out at the table still,
mm-hmm.
Munching on whatever food happens to be left over on the table that we haven't already put in Tupperware and shoved in the fridge.
Nice.
And they're getting along great and they're just, you know, happy as clams, but it's that weird initial... what's she doing here kind of thing. It's like, oh, really? Come on now.
It's Thanksgiving. Everybody comes to Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah, exactly.
You're all invited to the turkey day and the whatnot. The food was good, I assume. All that was great.
Food was fantastic. Yeah, so the story, real quick story. Because, you know, we had company coming, Tina and I had to do kind of a mad dash on Wednesday after I finished doing the Beatles, Coverville, and all the other stuff I had going on. We basically just did a head to toe cleaning of the house where we knew people would be hanging out. We didn't clean every room, but we cleaned the rooms that they would be in.
Sure.
And
we did the same. It's a good idea.
In our living room, you know, right in front of the couch, we have this big, nice, large ottoman, and it's hollow underneath. So it's more like a coffee table with a very soft padded top to it that a person could sit comfortably on.
Okay. All right.
And we knew that would be the case, that people would want to sit up there. So we cleaned off. We've got a little TV tray that we have a couple magazines and a couple remote controls and things like that. And we decided, we gotta just clean all this stuff off. And while we're at it, I'll fix that bum leg. It's got kind of a wobbly leg. So we cleared the stuff off of it. Tina and I got on each side of it because this is a bigger job than one person can do. And we just flipped the thing over straight away.
Yeah.
And it was a little bit, when we set it back down, we noticed one side was higher than the other, but really didn't even think about it. It was like, all right, we must have left something, had shoes on the ground or something like that. And so grabbed a screwdriver. Oh, darn, need an Allen wrench. So went back into the garage, grabbed an Allen wrench, came back, tightened it up, then went to the other legs, decided, well, let's do all four legs while we're in here. Tightened all four legs up, handed the Allen wrench back over to Tina because she was still on the other side of it. She started doing the Allen wrench. And then she realized that the ottoman was moving.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then she looked underneath it and realized that Inara, who had been lying on the floor underneath the ottoman, had just pretty much been flipped over, had just been pretty much dropped an ottoman on her while she was sleeping.
Oh, my gosh. So she was, did you guys know that
she was under there for a good 4 or 5 minutes while we were sitting there adjusting the ottoman and going and getting the right wrench and stuff like that.
Aww.
And she's a cat who likes, being in small enclosed places. You put a cardboard box on the floor, it's the first thing she goes for, is hopping in that cardboard box.
Sure, they like that.
Just sitting there. Yeah. She likes that, exactly. A lot of cats like that.
Yeah.
And so we lifted up the ottoman, and she's just kind of like hunkered down. And, cats can look pissed, but they don't often look pissed. Inara looked pissed.
Right.
I picked her up and was petting her, and she wasn't kind of responding to that. So I set her down on the couch, and she stayed in this kind of hunched position staring at me, and she didn't come out for the whole rest of the night.
Oh. Does she not like people come over anyway? She's not like crowds
she
and stuff?
She hates when people come over. Yeah, she was it's really weird. I mean, I'm the person in the house that she likes. She likes me. She likes the dog. She likes Daisy. Mm-hmm. She kind of likes Tina. And anybody else? Nope. They get hissed at if they even look at her. If they walk by her and look at her, she looks up and hisses and is the meanest cat.
Yeah. Our cat's the same. People come over and he just turns into a complete recluse and goes hide somewhere.
Yeah.
But when he's out, he's just a jerk. He hates me. I don't know what I think. I said on Twitter, I think it's my alignment with the dogs. Cat just hates me.
That's right.
Because he knows I like the dogs.
You're on their side.
Yeah. I picked a side, I guess. And he's, and it's mostly about me. It's not like I'm going, ew, I hate cats. I love dogs. It's not like I'm doing that.
Yeah.
It's just someone has to feed him and pet him and take him on walks and do stuff. You got to manage the dogs. So what does the cat expect? You little rat, freaking rat cat. I wish he liked me. But what are you going to do? All right. I got a question for you.
Anyway. Yes.
Can you name a place? And I'm sure you can because you're pretty good at knowing a good place for this.
Also because I'm a fat guy.
No, because I just think you're a connoisseur and you would know a good plate of nachos if you saw one. But is there a place left on this planet that actually serves? And I'm not talking about making it yourself and going and getting all your stuff and everything. Sure. A place where you can go and order nachos, fully loaded, whatever kind of nachos you like. Is there such a thing as good nachos anymore? Because I'm here to tell you, I don't think there is. So prove me wrong.
I'm going to prove you wrong. But I don't think it's a place that you've got there. It's a chain called Qdoba.
Oh, we have Qdoba. We do have them here.
You have Qdoba?
Yeah. Oh, no. You know what it was? Qdoba is the place that you go to all the time that I can never get, but I went to when I was in Detroit on layover, and it was fantastic. So
it's
you're telling me Qdoba's got the nacho platter. And
Qdoba's got the nachos, and it's kind of like it's set up like a Chipotle, basically, where you basically walk along with your food. You're walking your food like you're a human conveyor belt, but it's on the other side of the sneeze glass, and you're basically telling them what you want in it and stuff.
Right.
And it's just really good. And what I did
Well, yeah, because what you do and what you did are different now. So yeah,
exactly. Well, here's the key: is that the nacho part totally fine. The chips are the killer as far as losing weight. Mm-hmm. And let me interject real quick. Even with Thanksgiving, I lost 1.5 pounds last week.
Oh my gosh!
Which is a you know, would for a normal week be like, okay, that's cool. But it's the week of Thanksgiving and Thanksgiving leftovers, and I gotta say, I'll take comfort in that. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, well done. At least you didn't. Well, I'm not gonna admit to this yet. Anyway, continue on. So good.
Anyway,
good nachos.
The way you do it at Qdoba is you get the chips on the side, so they provide the chips to you in a separate bag so they don't get soggy. Okay. And then the bowl just contains your queso, your vegetables, your pulled pork, or your ground beef, or your steak, or your chicken, or whatever, and then all your other toppings. And their corn salsa is
really good.
The way to go.
Yeah, it's really good. I've had that at the thing in a bowl. The corn salsa, but I didn't have it in. It wasn't nachos. It was just like a rice bowl thing, or not rice. What was it? I guess it was rice. Whatever it was, we had at Qdoba in the airport was freaking fantastic, and it had that.
Yeah,
that corn it's really chowder. Good.
That's, salsa. It's a bummer. There's no Qdoba in. I'm looking just to make sure.
Yeah, unless something's changed recently, I don't think there's any here yet. But mm-hmm. I'd make it the frequent if I knew about it. All right. Well, the reason I bring this up is we went to a place. This weekend, Nick decided he wanted to buy the family dinner because, you know, working now, got a little spending cash. For some reason, this is a thing all my kids did when they started to have a job and earn money and, you know, this. They were like, sure. Hey, I want to buy dinner for the family. It was just like this thing they do.
Yeah, it's a rite of passage. It's like it makes you feel like you're a grown up.
Yeah, and it was his idea. Yeah. So we said, sure, bud, that sounds great. Thanks for that. So we go to this place, and I ordered these nachos called Irish nachos.
Oh, okay. I know. Yeah, I know what you're gonna have in there. You're gonna have probably corned beef.
Mm-hmm. A little bit.
Is gonna be your meat. Yeah, there's a place called Clancy's here that does the Irish nachos.
And they normally sounds amazing. Like on the menu, looked great. Got them. They weren't that great. I've had other nachos at other places recently. And so it occurred to me last night, I haven't had a good plate of nachos in 100 mm-hmm. years, it feels like. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what's going on with that. We have like incredibly capable Southwestern, Tex-Mex, Mexican restaurants here that are amazing. Maybe I'm just going to the wrong places. So I'm putting it out. I'm putting my feelers out there. Yo, fellow Utah Tadpoolers, you guys got any ideas? Because, man, I could go for a big plate of nachos right now.
Now, when we go to Vegas.
Yeah.
One of the places I recommend you hit up is a place called Nacho Daddy. And the location I know of that Tina and I went to is in on the side of Planet Hollywood. It's actually not too far, like 4 or 5 doors down from the Taco Bell Cantina that's there on the side of...
That's not far.
It's not far.
Right,
it's
on, like the
right
strip.
On the side of...
Yeah, I'll go there in freaking April, man. Are you kidding me? That sounds great.
There you go.
And they focus on nachos. It's all nachos all the time or what?
Yeah, I mean, that's their big focus. I think they've got, you know, burritos and chicken breast over rice and stuff like that. But I think their primary thing is nachos. And that's what Tina had the only time we've ever been there. And they were good. Are they the best thing I've ever, you know, best nachos I've ever had? No, but I can't think of better nachos that I've had. I mean, Qdoba is pretty damn good. And Knott's in the chat room is totally right on the money. I mean, Taco Bell Nacho Supreme is still kind of the bar by which we measure this stuff, because when we were kids and they came out with nachos, which is not inherently, as far as I know, not inherently a thing you go to Mexico and get. I don't think you go to a little canteen off the side in Juarez and say, let me get a plate of nachos. They're going to be like, sir, we have tacos.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I'm no expert either, but I have a feeling that stuff is us just throwing crap together on a plate and calling it good.
Yeah, exactly.
But, Rancheritos and SLC is good. I have heard they're good, but I haven't been there before. All right.
Yeah, the Lucas Light says Diablo's at the Monte Carlo is pretty good. Well, it was, because now there's no longer a Diablo's, and technically there's no longer a Monte Carlo. It's Park MGM, and they got rid of that awesome... Oh, that decent Mexican restaurant that was in front of it. They had really good nachos. They had really good guacamole. And then the other stuff there was fair.
All right. Well, I want to go to this Nacho Daddy place. That's what
Nacho
I want.
Daddy.
Sounds really good to me. Of course Vegas has something. What am I even thinking? That's where I should get my nachos. Of course.
Yeah, well, that's a long haul for you in Salt Lake City. You're not going to be hopping on the old 15 to get down to.
Yeah, let's do a 5-hour trip for a thing of nachos,
right,
and come
back.
Right, just
for a plate of nachos. Yeah. Yeah,
I'll do it in April though for sure, unless I go there earlier. But that's probably the earliest I'll get there.
Yeah.
So one other thing, we're at the dog park Saturday with the dogs. We went early in the morning because we had a ton of crap to do, and we decided to do it early. So we had Izzy with us because we were babysitting Izzy overnight. She's the big pit bull my daughter owns. And so we got her because they're off doing things. And then we got Boomer with us and left Rainer home because Rainer doesn't like other dogs. So she's kind of bad at the dog park. But these other two love other dogs. They want to run with them. And this place is always full of dogs. So we go down there to the dog park and we let the dogs out. We put them through what I like to call the airlock, because there's like this gate.
Yes.
Where you go flink, and then you got to shut it, and then you open the next part. It's totally like a science fiction airlock.
It is totally the best, right? Yeah. Exactly. You want a little decontamination steam to come down on you, like,
just going psh. And I feel like, and every time I do it, it's annoying my family, but I always go, don't open that until the outer door is shut. Okay, now you can open the inner door. Like, I treat it like it's an actual ship, and we're all going to die if we open up the. We're just going to die in cold, dead space if they open the door. But anyway, we take him in there, and we're running with him and throwing bones and doing the stuff. And then some other people are there, and this nice guy is there, and we're talking to him. And he's got this big, furry, I don't know what all dog. Somebody named, I forgot the name of the dog. It was a cool name, though, for a dog. Some kind of name. Anyway, doesn't matter to the story. But he's running around, everybody's playing and stuff, and all of a sudden this dog stops, and Kim's standing between me and the guy who owns the dog, so he doesn't really see what his dog is doing, but I look down and notice that this dog has found a turd from another dog and is now making a meal of it.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Now, here's the etiquette question of the day.
A little corprophagia.
Do you say to the guy...
That's the dog's name, corprophagia.
Yeah, corprophagia, because I had a chuh. No, but like, do I look at him and say, oh, hey, your dog's eating a poo, or do I not say anything? I'll tell you what I did.
I didn't say something.
I didn't say anything. I just let it go, because it felt weird to go, sorry, hang on a second, your dog here is eating a poop. Or should I have just gone, no, get out of there, and shush the dog away as if I, you know, could intervene?
I think there's a third option. You just say, you know, I don't know if you kind of look at the guy and say, I don't know if you want him doing this, but your dog's currently eating poop.
Yeah, I should have done it.
Just in case he licks your face later, you should probably know this.
I feel like I could have done that. Maybe that is a good third option. Maybe I should have said, whoop, we got a poop eater, and just kind of had fun with it. You know, laughed it off a little bit.
Exactly. And that's that's how I would have done it. It's like, you probably want to know about this, but your dog's currently eating poop. Because I think we'd want to know if Daisy was doing that at a dog park. Because, you know, when she goes up and eats the cat poop, fortunately, she's not doing that as much anymore.
Oh, good.
Oh, that was horrible. Because you'd see her come out of the, you know, she disappeared for a while and you're not even thinking about it. Then she comes over to you and like, hi.
Yeah.
And she's got like kitty litter stuck all over her lips.
Yep. And they get the worst possible breath of all time.
At least you know the poop that she's eating, you know, is local. It's farm to table.
It's farm to table poop. Yeah.
It's not some random dog with worms or with, you know, whatever situation. You don't want them eating dog park poop. Dog park poop.
Yeah, no kidding. That's the other thing is this is dog park poop. It's not a dog exactly. I can verify. I don't know if it was a good, clean dog. I don't know anything about the damn dog.
I would have told the guy, but I would have done it exactly how you described it. Just said it in kind of a joking, funny way, like, you know, your dog's eating poop. I don't know if you want to know this.
Yeah. It just felt, I don't know why I felt constrained. And I don't know if it was the kind, it was just a vibe I was getting that if I say this guy's going to say, like, I don't know, it felt like he might go, why didn't you tell me sooner? Or, you know, like he would have been mad.
How could he get mad at you? He's like, well, of course he does.
Yeah. Or yeah, like, like that. I don't know. In my head, that's, maybe it's because it's just early. It was Saturday. I was just like, I don't want to deal with people right now. So it's not my dog, you know, kind of was having one of those attitudes. But I think if I was him. I would have liked it if somebody had said something, probably.
You were Spider-Man with the burglar running by.
Yeah.
Somehow that dog is going to come back to haunt you. He's going to, you know.
Yeah.
He's going to, you're going to bump into him and not realize it's the same dog, and that dog is going to lick your hand.
Right. And I'll go find.
With great power comes great responsibility, Scott.
Martin Sheen laying there bleeding to death, or whoever he was in that one. Actually, he didn't die in those movies, did he?
No, Martin Sheen ones.
He didn't die.
Right. He disappeared and then showed up. Wait, yeah, what was the deal? He wasn't really dead. Peter Parker's.
Maybe the Uncle Ben.
No, it was his parents. We're talking about the Andrew Garfield ones, right?
Yeah, those. I don't think they ever depicted the Uncle Ben bit that I know of.
Yeah.
Right? I don't think they did. Yeah, whatever.
I don't think they did either.
Those movies have quickly become a distant memory.
It's almost like a Spider-Man movie or a Batman movie without the death of Martha and.
Yeah, how do you do that? It's like having. Yeah. If you don't have your Batman parents die, you don't have a Batman movie, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Jeez. Man, well done, Sony. You guys pulled one over on us, you guys. All right, yeah. So here's the deal. Coverthon. Let's sum it up. How'd it go? Yes. Everything go good?
Coverthon went really, really well. Really, really well. We raised $3,300 for Alzheimer's research, and we're going to bump that up to $3,500 just to make it a nice, fun, even number. I'm realizing that I need to start a little bit earlier with promotion and... we did all right with guests. I'm almost thinking that what we need to do is shorter segments. So like doing a film sack, maybe instead of doing a full-on movie, we do a 30-minute talking about a specific trope. Get the four of us on here and just do something specific for Coverthon or 40 minutes or something like that. Because there were people, actually with film sack it didn't happen, but there were people with other segments that we did that day that were like, I want more music. When's the music coming back on? And things like that. So I need to think about it for next year. I'm also thinking, what if I did this during the spring? and not the day after Thanksgiving when everything else that I'm working on is kind of coming to a head. Yeah. Like again, the 2-hour Beatles show, the getting ready for cover or countdown, getting ready for this, doing that. It's like there's so much stuff at the end of the year.
I like that idea. Why not? There's nothing that says you have to do it at the end of the year or right on.
No, the only benefit to this time of year, and I need to find out if there's another time of year where they do this, is that the gift matching takes place.
I see. Yeah. Well, they probably have some. I can't imagine they wouldn't have other options.
I think they do have it more times per year, and I'll need to do a little research and find that out. But anyway. It was still a lot of fun. Things really devolved into madness when Crazy Neighbor came over and brought some sake. Like things were going great. We had like 4 or 5 hours left in the Coverthon. Then he came over and brought sake, and then I had to do a soundography while
inebriated,
slightly inebriated, but also with 3 inebriated co-hosts sitting there at the peanut gallery table.
Great. I was going to ask if Dave came by. It sounds like he did.
He certainly did, yes. Exactly.
Well, leave it to him to bring the libations and ruin the night. Just kidding. I'm sure it all went fine.
Yeah, Rainbow Bright is absolutely correct. He brought sake and farts.
Oh,
like,
wow.
They were the loudest streamed on Twitch farts I think that Twitch has ever seen.
That's fantastic. That's almost
the needle.
That's ASMR level farting going on right there.
Totally is.
Well done.
Exactly. This last weekend, Tina and I joined the A-List. We're now, because we didn't do MoviePass, we decided to do the AMC version of that, which is any movie, 3D, IMAX, Dolby Atmos, everything like that at any AMC theater. You get 3 a week, and we decided to take advantage of that this weekend, and we saw Overlord, which is the J.J. Abrams Nazi superhuman movie, monster movie.
He produced that or director, or what was the deal?
You know, now that I say that,
I think he just produced
it. Just produced it.
But anytime he's producer on anything, they make a huge deal out of it, and it's easy to forget who actually directed it. Let's see, Overlord 2018. Oh, this is doing all right on Rotten Tomatoes.
It is, 81% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is, he did not direct it, is what Jackalope.
Oh, yeah. Looks like directed by Julius Avery. Never heard of him. Written by 2 other dudes, but it's part of the Bad Robot production deal. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Ooh, I'm in the mood for this. This looks great.
It's decent. It's really good. The only person I really recognized was Ian DeCastaker, or Castaker, which is the guy. He's the guy who plays Fitz on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. He's really good.
Oh, all right.
But all in all, really good. Well done. Well done, film. Well done.
Well done, you guys. Well done.
Well done. Oh, yeah, yeah. The that's right. The other, the Orange is the New Black, the guy who was getting married to the really flaky Italian girl. Italian woman.
Oh. Okay.
The major makeup.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm familiar with that person. I actually kind of like that it's a small cast that's mostly cast offs from other smaller things. I think that's fine. You don't get that.
Holy cow.
More.
So Jack Lopes says that, so Wyatt Russell is Kurt Russell's son. I guess that totally makes sense because he looks a lot like Kurt Russell.
Oh, weird. That's cool.
Holy cow. Yeah.
Well done, Russell family.
Anyway, we saw that. And then last night we saw Green Book, which is basically they said, all right, what's the formula for a movie that's guaranteed an Oscar nomination? All right. So we have a black jazz musician traveling cross country with a white Italian guy who may be a little bit racist, who's going to be his bodyguard, and he's going to take him to all these performances, and they're going to grow as friends even though they have differences and stuff like that. It was good. I mean, it was really good, and it is going to get a nomination just because it's
been expected to? I haven't even heard of it till today.
It has been expected to, and it's Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali.
Oh,
so another two likely candidates.
Mm-hmm.
Linda Cardellini,
or
Velma from the Scooby-Doo movies.
She's good. I like her.
She's really good. Anyway, yeah, it's good. It was decent.
It's got the same Rotten Tomatoes rating currently as Overlord. So
Overlord, there you go.
82 each. Nice job, guys. All right, well.
Yeah, and Jedi 71 says, isn't it odd they don't explain what the Green Book is in the ads? And it's totally true. I had no idea what the Green Book was, and I didn't know from the ads, and even from the trailer. So you don't know why the movie is called Green Book. And I'm wondering if it's something, I'm not going to spoil it, because it's something you learn in the very beginning of the movie, and it's kind of cool.
All right.
Not cool. I mean, it's sad that this thing exists,
right?
But it's an important part of the story.
Cool in a
different
way. I hear
it done away. Let's
spoiler.
Spoiler alert. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Brian Dunaway to the stage, where he will now play Babel Royale for our amusement. Hello, Brian.
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Oh, hello. It's nice to hear you. I guess we just saw you on Saturday. No, Friday. That was fun.
No, Friday, which is usually longer than usual, because I usually see you on Saturday, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah. I miss you guys so much.
It was a good time. We're going to play Babel Royale, and as I warned the chat room earlier, we're going to do this via the Discord server on Frog Pants. If you want to be a part of today's Babel Royale, how we're bringing you in via audio today is to hang out in the call waiting channel. That's the call waiting room, rather, on the Frog Pants Discord, which you should all already be members of. If you're not, you can go to frogpants.com/contact. And you'll find it there. But hop into that call waiting room.
Technically, it's the waiting room, isn't it? Call waiting.
Right. It is the waiting room.
It is
correct.
The waiting room. We already have somebody in there. Let's see who this is. Hold on a quick second. Hi, and welcome to the show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Gnomic.
Oh, Gnomic. How are you, Gnomic? Oh, wait.
Well, I'm very good. How are you doing?
I'm good, except now I can't talk to these guys. Hold on.
Just to follow.
Hold on, I may have
screwed. There he is.
I just realized that this doesn't work this way.
Right, we have to be in the call waiting room.
We have to be in the call waiting room as well.
Yeah, we can't do that. I mean, we could, but we're not gonna. All right, never mind. Here's what we're gonna do instead. We're gonna. Scott didn't think this through. It used to. You know why we used to do it? We used to do it before Discord had video, so we weren't using Discord for our call.
Oh, true.
We were using something else. And then we bring Discord in as a third party. I thought, for some reason in my head, I thought, oh, we can have these guys all talking at the same time. But it doesn't work that way. I wonder if I can add Gnomic manually. I'm not going to do this now. All right, Gnomic, you're our winner, even though we're not going to hear your voice.
You're
in
a winner.
Here.
Send him the prizes. Thank you, everybody.
I'll fix this by Wednesday. I just wasn't thinking. Gnomic in the chat, you are our contestant. Brian's going to explain the rules, the topic, and you're going to decide who's going to win and who should start. Go ahead, Brian.
That is correct. So I'm going to be giving Scott and Brian Dunaway a topic. They're going to go back and forth with answers for that topic. If one of them gives a wrong answer, or they give an answer that's already been given, or they take too damn long to come up with an answer, the winner is going to go to the other player. Your job is to predict who's going to come out on top based on the topic. Today, you are playing for the carryover prize from last week, which is that Zumo 32U4 robot. This thing is so rad. I wish I could keep it from our shelf, but I can't.
Radbot.
It is a really rad bot. This thing does, just look it up. Look up the video. It's really cool. Zumo 32U4.
I'm not going to explain it to you. Just Google it.
It does so many things. We'd be here for an hour of me explaining all the things it can do. And we're adding to that a copy of Batman Arkham Origins on Steam, courtesy of William Hill. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. This is super, super cool. Yeah. All right. So the topic today, this is going to be a tricky one because I've got four pages because I could not figure out the way this thing was done. I couldn't compress it down to one page. So I'm going to be, give me time as you give answers, but Comic Book Resources ranked the 20 best superpowers of all time. So from your comic book characters, what are the 20 best superhero superpowers of all time as ranked by Comic Book Resources? You don't need to get them in order, obviously.
All right. I was about to say, because this is just opinion. So we're just, right.
So you guys are naming comic book powers, but you're naming what they would consider the best of those powers. For example, I can tell you that, Matter Eater Lad, who is my least favorite superhero, is got one of the lamest powers ever, just that he can eat everything.
That's a pretty bad.
That's not lame.
Well,
you know what Scott would give to be able to eat any nacho that he wanted?
Hey, who's got good nachos in South Carolina? Anybody?
Oh, absolutely. If you want some good nachos, yeah. I head down to my local Mexican eatery, and they have something there called sweet nachos. It's nachos with nacho cheese. Actually, it's actually got the white cheese on it.
Yeah.
And it has shredded chicken, and it has cherries, which are delicious, and they call them sweet nachos, and they are delicious.
Well, next time I'm down there.
Very interesting. Wow.
Next time I'm there, I'm going to check those out. All right, Nomic says that Brian will win, and I should start.
All right,
fair enough. So thank you, Nomic, for that. All right, so I'm starting. Flying.
Ooh. Flying. Flight. Number 9 on the list, one of the most typical superpowers available for most heroes. And even those that can't fly can make up for it with other devices. There you go. Flight, number 9 on their list of best superpowers.
That is way lower on the list than I would have given it.
I would have thought that would have been number 1 myself. You're right, Scott.
Yeah.
It just lets you get places faster. It doesn't really, it just lets you get to the bank quicker to stop the bad guys.
But there's so many other cool things. I mean, like you can escape bad situations. Like, don't I have that conversation with your girlfriend? Fly away.
Air superiority. That's an important factor.
You absolutely do. But if you don't have anything else to go with it, all you are is just, I can get there first, man.
I can get there first, man. Yeah.
I'm going to go with the.
He was breaking. His phone broke up.
Am I breaking up?
Yeah, you're back. Oh, you're back. You're going to go with what? Sorry. Oh. Say it again.
Oh, that's weird. You guys didn't break up at all. Just me. Okay, so I would go with super strength.
Super
strength. That is number 7.
Interesting.
You know, if you may get to the bank first with your flight, but you need some way of stopping those bank robbers and super strength if you can, like, lift up their getaway car while they're still in it or something. That's the way to do it. Back to Scott.
Telekinesis.
Telekinesis. Number 3. We're moving up the charts here.
All right.
They give Carrie from the Stephen King movie as a great example of this. I don't know why.
Why wouldn't it be Professor X?
She's not a superhero.
It should be Professor X or somebody like that, like an X-Men.
You would think, right? Exactly.
That's dumb.
Jean Grey could have maybe used her, but...
that's dumb. Right.
Telekinesis, a very good superpower.
Right. Okay, so the most coveted superpower that all kids had during the 50s, 60s, 70s was X-ray vision.
X-ray vision. Number 20. The bottom of the world.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
Are you kidding me?
Gnomic, you just about lost it, dude.
That's the most desired superpower of all, right?
Other than super hearing. No, it wasn't. It's just because you were looking for boobies and panties. That's what that was. Right.
Exactly. You know, it's only
you get your powers the way you want.
When it stops.
I don't think the question was what superpower is the most effective or is the most, you know, well to do. It's just the one that you want the most, right?
All right.
That's right.
Fair enough.
You know, that was the thing, you know, in the back of the comics on that big page with all the little things you could buy for $3.99 plus $12 shipping and handling. One of those things were those X-ray specs.
Well, you made it into the top 20 nonetheless. All right. For me, next up would be... it just slipped my mind. Healing, some sort of healing ability, Wolverine style healing.
A healing factor, if you will.
Yeah.
Like regeneration, for example.
Yes. That's a better word.
Number 12 on the list.
Okay.
Wolverine has this. Deadpool has this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it helps you last longer in a fight.
Yeah.
It's like Cialis of superpowers.
Does the girl with the two claws in the movie, Logan, I forget her name in the comics.
X-23.
The X-23, does she also do that? She heal and regenerate?
Yeah.
Okay.
She can. Yeah.
All right. Cool.
Cool. I was just wondering.
Cool, man. Cool.
I could have totally Googled that, but whatever.
But cool.
Hey.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm going to go with, hey, you know what? If I know the other guy has X-ray vision, then I'm going to want to be invisible.
Oh,
that's my
sure.
power. Right.
Now, that's an interesting question. What happens with X-ray vision and invisibility? If you have X-ray vision, don't you still see the bones of the invisible dude walking around because you're looking on a different wavelength, the X-ray?
That's
interesting. Just according to how deep your invisibility is.
Yeah, there's also that question about invisibility. If you eat something, does everyone get to see your food go down a pipe?
Right. You have to get invisible clothes too, or unstable molecules like Mr. Fantastic?
Yeah.
Invisibility, number 11 on the list. Very good.
Well done. All right. Super speed.
Speed, of course, right? Like the Flash.
Yeah, like the Flash.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Number 5 on the list. All right. Very good.
I'll take it.
Right. So you said, I'm a little concerned about this one.
Okay.
Because there's a branch where one, and we mentioned telekinesis, but telekinesis is not really.
Telekinesis is the, you can move objects, physical objects with your mind.
Right.
So that's where the kinetic part comes from. The kinetic is part of the word.
Right.
And I know what you're thinking, but I'm not going to help you.
Yeah, I know. You shouldn't. You absolutely should not. Maybe.
Uh-huh.
All right. How about How about morphing abilities? The ability to morph into shape. There we go. Shape of a bucket of water.
You describe a great superpower, then you describe the worst use of it. Yeah. Number 16, shapeshifting.
Okay. Stretching.
Oh, stretching. That's a good one.
Like Doctor or Mr. Fantastic and the Plastic Man and all that. Or
right below shapeshifting is body manipulation, growth, stretching. All those things. So Plastic Man, Mr. Fantastic.
It probably includes
throwing Ant-Man's ability to shrink into that.
Hulk, I assume, is part of that body manipulation, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, his is pretty much the super strength, but yeah, I mean, it's the combo of the super strength and the body manipulation.
Sure. Manipulate that body.
Manipulation. Back over to Brian.
I'm going to go with super smarts.
Super smarts. Sorry. Getting rid of that. Well, here's the thing.
Uh-oh.
This is one I was surprised was not in the list. But let me check here because...
You trying to find one that it fits?
Yeah. No, I've got nothing that can even fit into.
So
no one wants to be brain smart.
Nope. Right, wants exactly. to be brain.
No one wants to be super smart.
Nope.
Oh no.
Nobody does.
Let me go down the rest of the list here. heat/laser/laser vision/optic blasts.
Of course.
Intangibility, so your kitty pride situation. Enhanced senses, kind of your daredevil bit there. Immortality, just basic immortality. Absorbing powers.
Oh, yeah. Rogue. Sure.
Rogue, absorbing man. Yeah. Force fields, invisible woman. Teleportation, your Nightcrawler business.
Oh, I should have went with teleportation. That was my other favorite.
Was that your other one? Invulnerability, so kind of your Superman, Luke Cage, time travel. Telepathy was the one I thought you were going to go with, Brian, yeah. Which is the
I was a little bit scared to do the telepathy. I was a little bit chicken.
Wait, what's that number one? That was number two. What's number one?
That was number two. Number one is elemental control. So being able to control fire, ice, the weather.
Interesting. This is the dumbest list ever. Comic resources, you suck.
See you at the Boop Show. Bye. Okay, I hung up on him. He'll be back. Wow. He'll be back this afternoon, 3:30 Mountain Time, with me for the Boop Show, everybody. So you can hear Brian wallow
by
in
the
his
way,
pain. Yeah.
That one goes out to, submitted by Ian Levenstein. So I Am Sci-Fi.
Oh.
Came up with that topic for Battle Royale. So good job. I actually really liked it. I thought it was a fun one, but. Agreed.
I like it. It's a good one.
Super smarts should be in that list. It is kind of silly.
I would have put that in there. I mean, all the others are more physical, but I get that. But right. Gnomic, nice try. Sorry, but prizes move forward to whoever we talk to on Wednesday. And if I have my way, we will absolutely talk to them on Wednesday. Okay? That's my plan.
Yes. All right.
I just got to get it working. I got to get it functioning again. Time for this.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive sensational summary of world and local events.
Hey, it's the news, and it's brought to you by
the Geek Versus podcast. Things are about to get weird when Tony, Betty, and Casey provide a nerd's eye view of pop culture on the Geek Versus podcast. I just don't want people to think it's the Geek Versus podcast, like there's a geek who says, I don't like podcasts.
Right.
The Geek Versus podcast, available on your favorite podcast app or at geekversus.com.
And they spell it out, V-E-R-S-U-S.
S-U-S. Yes, on the right. And I hope there. Nobody, if like they have a special guest on that show, I hope nobody ever says verse.
Yeah, verse is the worst thing ever. It's an entire generation ruined. Well done, everybody who says verse. I hate that. That's
exactly right.
What about when Mario versus Pikachu?
What about Superman versus Batman? What do you think of that movie?
Ugh, it's worse than Super Mario Bros. I hate that too, but
yeah,
it's worse than that. Okay, well, let's get to it here. We got, I think we can get through a couple of these.
Sure.
A prisoner got caught with a phone up his bum.
Nope.
Yep. Right in his hooter there.
Yeah.
Claimed he knew nothing about it. Like, completely oblivious to how it got there.
How did that get there? I lost this. Like,
no idea, Warden. I don't know how it got up there, he says. 4-inch mobile.
I must have sat on it when I was naked from the waist down.
It was only 4 inches, so you can see why, you know, this isn't like a a Galaxy 8.
Was it a little cricket phone?
Like a little tiny phone. Was discovered up Dylan Martin's bum after suspicious screws picked up a signal. What? Suspicious screws picked up a signal and searched his cell at HMP Bullingdon near Bicester of Oxfordshire. This is all in Britain. Obviously.
Screws is like that's the slang term for the guards. That's the term that the inmates give the guards. I didn't think that was a...
That's hilarious. Yeah. The screws.
The screws are coming.
They're putting the screws to you. Despite looking shocked and adamantly telling the guards the device has nothing to do with him, Martin had an extra half a year tacked onto his already long sentence. His excuse crumbled after guards discovered the SIM card inside the phone had his family and friends' contacts on it.
had photos taken with the smartphone of him inserting it into his bum.
Wait, how would you do that? That would only
you take a picture. It's like your Instagram, your four photo panel, kind of before and after situation. Like, here's me taking my pants off. Here's me with a bottle of Vaseline. Here's
So what's the final photo? Is just black. There's just like nothing.
Exactly.
It's dark. Okay. Here it is.
Here's
inside.
My taint.
Yeah, it's inside me now.
Here's a really close-up photo of my taint.
It says, the court heard the jail's mobile phone detection equipment picked up a signal from his cell on the 4th of this year in August. So they could, it's probably a very old phone that has like a really long battery life. Right. Like the way they used to be back in the day. I remember I didn't have to charge. I didn't have to charge. I had this little flip phone that I had forever before smartphones that I didn't have to charge for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. Oh, man. Yeah. Anyway, that guy's weird.
Wow.
Some Utah teens got a little salty over the weekend. Right here in my grand estate, they stole a plane from an airstrip and took it for a joyride. Oh, yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Okay.
They were in Vernal. It's a very small airport. It's like a little regional airport. It's not a, you know, it's like, I don't even know why you'd use it, but I guess.
Are these the two boys from the very beginning of the movie Pearl Harbor?
Oh,
they grew up into.
I forgot about that. Boy Affleck and boy, who's the other one? The other one that was he was real hot for a while, and then now no one talks about him anymore.
Yeah, that's the one.
he was one of those Halloween movies. He was in Black Hawk Down.
Right.
Chat room, help me here. He was a handsome young man. Hartnett, Josh Hartnett.
Oh, Josh Hartnett. Right.
You have to
see if I could come up with it before the chat room.
If you want to keep your food handler's permit, you have to always wear a Josh Hartnett. Anyway, they took a plane. It was a little Cessna. They're only 14 and 15 years old. They're not giving names, obviously, but they had been staying at the Split Mountain Youth Detention Center in Vernal. So this is like a kid rehabilitation joint. Anyway, on Thanksgiving, the pair took a tractor and drove it to a private airstrip. There, they took a fixed-wing engine, single-engine Cessna and took to the skies, flying along US 40 for 15 miles toward the Colorado state line. They were coming your way, Brian.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I mean, that's impressive if they've had no flight training to be able to get it up in the air.
Yeah. Yeah. No, these guys are...
They played a lot of Microsoft Flight Simulator. What is that? It's hidden in Excel?
Yeah.
Do they have Excel in the Youth Mountain or Split Mountain Youth Detention Center? Yeah.
You nailed it. I'm trying to see how they landed it. Let's see. It isn't clear what the punishment is for stealing and landing a plane. Social media split on whether the boys are heroes or villains. The teens mentioned flying back toward the Wasatch Front, but decided to... Oh, they returned to Vernal and landed it there. So they got a little freaked out and just took it back where they got it.
Jeez, that's impressive.
Yeah. Good job, Utah teens.
Yeah, even being able to land it. I wonder if they had to have somebody from the flight deck walk to talk them through it. All right, I'm going to talk you through this.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
But they're... Pulling their, you know, stretching their tie down and give me some coffee.
Yeah. Give me coffee, boy. Hey, did you know if you swallow a Lego, I can tell you how long it'll be before you get it back?
Oh, is it the same for everybody?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty close.
Wow.
On average. Okay. So, I mean, if you're a little kid, it's probably different.
Does the size of the Lego, I mean, are we talking one of those, the 12 nubs or maybe just like the single nubs?
It would probably, they don't say here. Let's see. Yeah, they don't say, but I'm guessing it's like the most normal brick, right? Wouldn't that be the one you'd test on?
I think probably, right? It's that 4 and 4, your standard 8 number.
Has everything worked out for them since they changed their plastic type? Did you hear, you remember that? There was a big deal about them going for some more recyclable version of Legos. And there was all this concern from Lego aficionados that it wouldn't hold and, you know, it would be too pliable and not hold like regular Legos are supposed to.
No, I didn't. I had no idea that they did this. Huh.
Either that or I'm having a fever dream about it. I swear I remember this. If you poop a Lego, are you shitting bricks? I-Core says. That's pretty good. Sorry, I put coin down. Let's see here. It says here they now know how. Oh, okay. What do you hope to say soon after you swallowed a Lego figurine head? They're saying it's a fig head.
A little figurine head, sure. So, like, a bad example, but I've got Mysterio right here, my little Mysterio minifig.
He is a bad example because he's got a big old dome head.
He doesn't have a typical head.
Yeah, it's like a marble with a hole in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, these are the key questions addressed by a study just published by the Journal of Pediatrics and Child Health. If you are saying, but I don't usually eat Lego figurine heads, you are probably not 6 months to 3 years old. Apparently, this is very common for them. In those glory days, chances are you were trying to put all kinds of things in your mouth, according to the publication in the World Journal of Pediatrics. This title is aptly titled Foreign Body Ingestion. Children like to put objects in their mouth, unquote. In 2002, the UK had over 128,000 reported incidences of foreign body ingestion or aspiration, with coins being the most commonly swallowed item by kids. I did this when a babysitter was waiting around for her money, and I was seven or something, and I put a quarter in my mouth, or I don't know why, and choked almost to death when I was 7 years, or maybe I was younger. I may have been five or six, but yeah, been there, man.
Damn.
Done that.
A quarter?
Yeah.
You, like, went right for the... Went for the gold medal instead of working your way up through the minor leagues.
Yeah, I should have started with a penny or a dime or something.
Or the dime, yeah, exactly.
Dimes, you don't even notice. They just go right in. Mm-hmm. Says
we
here,
actually consume, you know, 7 to 12 dimes per night in our sleep. Did you know that?
Oh, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Is that true?
No.
It's not. It's no source of money.
Spiders, yes, but not dimes.
Yeah, no dimes. I always hate that stat because I never know if it's real. Spiders. Is it real? Do we know?
It's something like 7 spiders a year or something. Yeah,
spiders
is what they claim to be real.
Let's see, not seat spiders, eat spiders. Fact or fiction? Okay, here we go. ScientificAmerica.com. These guys seem like they might know. Mm-hmm. Should we worry about anacrids? Arachnids crawling into our mouth while we're in deep sleep? Rod Crawford has plenty of... Okay, let's see. Once or twice a year, someone tells me they've recovered a spider leg in their mouth. Luckily for us, the fact that people swallow 8 spiders in their sleep a year is not true, not even close. The myth flies in the face of both spider and human biology.
It's more like 35.
Yeah, it's like... It's handfuls. Just handfuls of it. See, it says it's very unlikely you would ever end up with a spider in your mouth at all. 3 or 4 spiders live in the North American homes. They all tend to be found either tending to their webs, hunting non-human infested areas. During their forays, they usually don't intentionally crawl into bed because it offers no prey. Unless you have bed bugs, and then you have a bigger problem. So, anyway, spiders have no interest in humans. Spiders regard us much like they do a big rock, says Bill Shear, biology professor of Hampton-Sydney College in Virginia. He's the former president of the American Spider Society. We're so large that we really are just part of the landscape. So they don't care. They don't crawl in there. They don't want nothing to do with us. Feel better about yourselves, everybody. You're not eating spiders at night. It's fine.
Good, good. Yeah, that always felt like one of those made-up things.
It did. Look at us doing the work here.
That's right. We've probably made a lot of people feel better about life today.
I feel better. I know that.
Sure.
All right. We're going to save this teen texting thing for tomorrow because it's real good and I want to spend time on it.
Okay.
But we're going to take a break. When we come back, major spoilers time. There's no Daryl today because there is zero Star Trek stuff to talk about. None.
Zero. There's nothing, which is funny because we're starting to gear up in less than a month. Well, about a month, we've got Discovery finally coming back.
Yeah. I think it's this just time of year. Oh, and Game of Thrones not coming back till April? What are you guys even doing? What are you guys doing? Mm-hmm. What is that?
Resting on their laurels. Spending some of that Game of Thrones money is what they're doing.
I guess so. I mean, I saw a bunch of pictures on Instagram from some of the stars that are all like wrapping up filming and getting excited and all that, and that's great. Mm-hmm. But April? Good Lord.
No kidding.
Anyway, let's take a break. You got a song for the break?
I do. We're looking at a band that's got a great name. We Were Promised Jetpacks is the name of this band.
That's great.
I believe they are from Edinburgh, Scotland, but they came to the U.S. to work with producer Jonathan Lowe, who works with bands like The Nationals, Sufjan Stevens, Kurt Vile, The War on Drugs. And their prior albums were recorded in England, Scotland, and Iceland. Mm. They felt like it was time to try doing something in the U.S. So they came to Minor Street in Philadelphia and also Long Pond in New York's Hudson Valley in early 2018 to gather together to record this. This is great. The album came out at the end of September. The album was called The More I Sleep, The Less I Dream. Here is the band We Were Promised Jetpacks and the song Hanging In.
Be right back.
Something I could share.
Guys, this episode is brought to you by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery heated clothing. Heat on demand at a touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. It was 29 degrees Fahrenheit today, and I had on my Action Heat socks, and it was fantastic. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via panels similar to what you see in a heated car seat. You ever sit on one of those? You know what's up there. They could reach temperatures up to 135 degrees and are powerful. They're powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. These batteries can also be used to recharge your phone, by the way. You got some other gadget hanging around. You're like, yeah, I got to charge that up. I can use these. That's pretty cool. Perfect for any friend or family for this holiday season. Put them on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, anybody who loves the outdoors but hates the cold. It's kind of like me. When I like it outside, don't like the cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your entire body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. Oh, it sounds so good right now. It's so cold. Anyway, you can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. It's available in men's and women's, and they have great new styles and models just released for this holiday and winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty and warm. Even the most frigid of winters say so. Heated products that fit everyone's budget, just starting at as low as $39.99. That's pretty good. We got a special deal for you for all our listeners. Save 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/TMS to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/TMS, or use the coupon code. I'm sorry, not or. Well, I guess you can do either one. Go to actionheat.com/TMS. That's good enough. Or you can use the coupon code TMS at checkout and save 20%. Look, they get you covered both ways. Stay toasty and warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for their help on this show.
Even a scientist has to admit that there are some pretty serious religious overtones to all this.
It'll make her tinkle.
This is the Morning Stream, and I have some real concerns.
Oh, Dad's on mute. Hi, hey, ho! What's going on, everybody?
Hello, everybody.
We're back, everybody. That's pretty good. It's like The Cure and
a little Coldplay and vocals.
Yeah, it's like they all had a little weird baby. There's that. There's the baby.
Magira says Arcade Fire. I totally hear that too. Yeah, it was good solid UK band.
A sturdy bog standard band.
Right on. Yeah, exactly.
That's how the British would say it. Bog standard. All right. We're back, everybody. Thank you for your continued patience while we do a show. I bet like you have to sit and be patient for us to do a show. It's a weird thing to
Thanks
say.
Thanks for your patience while we record this program.
Thank you for your service. Let's get Steven Schleicher in here because that's how we do. And we bring him in via Skype, which means lots of cool music and this. Steven Schleicher, all the way from Hayes, Kansas, the proprietor, owner, founder, and continual fuel, that is the guy behind Majorspoilers.com. Major Spoilers, everybody. Steven Schleicher, hello, welcome.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
It's good hello. Good to have you here. How are you?
I'm good.
You know you're my daughter's favorite segment. Have I told you that?
Yes, you've Aww. Mentioned that multiple times.
Yeah. You know why? Because she says you're the one that knows everything.
Oh, well. She needs to listen a little more closely then.
I take that as
Jerry just pretends and he's loud about it.
Yeah. That's basically it. But I think what she means is she knows when you come on and talk about the things you talk about, you're going to have an expert opinion. And that's, I don't know. I think that's to your credit, man. Well done.
All right. Well, hey, let me drop some knowledge on you then.
All right. Give it to me.
You guys were playing the superhero game earlier.
We were.
And Brian mentioned a form of a bucket. Form of a pail of water.
Yeah.
Yes.
There is actually a Zan and Jaina comic book coming up in February.
Oh, my Lord.
It is part of Brian Michael Bendis's new imprint at DC Comics. It's going to be written by Mark Russell. And I know some people don't like Mark Russell because of some of the things that he has done and said in some other places. But if you are a fan of the Flintstones comic book that DC did a while ago, which was just phenomenal, I have a feeling he's going to bring that same kind of spirit to the Zan and Jaina comic coming up in February of 2019.
So this is not Mark Russell, the American political satirist.
No, not the piano player. Sorry.
Oh, different. Oh, that's already a third guy.
Whole different one. He's the comic book writer behind the Flintstones, Snagglepuss, the Lone Ranger, and coming soon, the Wonder Twins.
There's a Snagglepuss comic? What?
Yes, apparently, and Snagglepuss, so, yeah. It takes place in the 1950s, and of course Snagglepuss is gay. I don't know if he's out or if he's just closeted, but it's what, you know, things that he had to deal with as a gay character in 1950s The South.
Okay. All right.
Exit stage right and looking fabulous even.
Even. Yeah, we put even at the end of everything. It's super annoying. all right. I guess that's a thing. That'll be a thing to do. I mean, obviously, they're pigeonholing him a little bit, aren't they? They're making him do all the weird stuff. Like,
I don't think they're making him. I think he's choosing to do that.
Yeah, I don't mean they're forcibly, you know.
You will write Zan and Jaina.
Yeah. But I mean, what do you expect from such a thing? Like, probably not good, right? Like, I mean, it's those stupid Wonder Twins. They suck.
Yeah, but yeah. He has a way. I mean, you would think that how can you make the Flintstones interesting, or how can you make Snaggletooth interesting? And in both of those books, really took current political and social issues and enveloped them and included them into those comics. So I think we're going to see kind of the same thing with the Wonder Twins. Here are two people who are from a place that's very different than what people might expect in your normal high school classroom type situation. And so maybe they're going to be dealing with some teenager issues, some issues of aliens, xenophobia, those kinds of things. So it should be interesting to see where this book goes.
Well, I just showed the chat room a video clip of the girl. What's her name? Jaina?
Jaina.
Yeah. Jaina. She creates an octopus. Okay. So she's now an octopus.
Mm-hmm.
Her brother, what is it? Zane?
Yeah, Zan.
Zan. He creates a unicycle made of ice. And then Jaina jumped on top of the ice unicycle as a octopod and rode off into the sunset there with him. That's weird. That's freaking weird.
On the planet they're from, that's how everybody gets around, on ice unicycles.
Okay.
That's totally normal from their planet. Like, yeah, of course ice unicycle. How else would you get around?
Yeah, of course. Like, that seems obvious now that you've mentioned it that way. But yeah, it's just super dumb. So hey, if he can figure out a way to make it work, they're doing a lot with the Archie stuff that works. Like, mm-hmm. Why not, I guess, go there? But it was never, I mean, it started on the show, right? It was never a comic.
Right. It was. They did appear in the Super Friends comics from the 70s, but they did appear on the cartoon series first.
Yeah. And let's talk about those categories real quick. Wonder Twin powers would fall into what, Brian, on your list of 20 powers? Would it be body manipulation?
Shape-shifting.
Okay.
Shape-shifting, yeah.
All right.
Totally,
he's more element. I mean, he's shape-shifting and he's an element controller, right? Because
he's not really controlling any elements other than making himself an element. You know, it's like a Human Torch could shoot fire and he could make fire rings and he could fly around using the fire kind of as a source of energy.
Right.
He is just turning his body into that element, which I think is, it's a kind of elemental manipulation, but I think it's really just shape-shifting.
And it's always water. He's never anything but water. Frozen,
yeah,
sometimes.
Some form of water.
Yeah.
Steam, water.
It sucks. You know, she's over there. She's like, yeah. Make a form of a giant, powerful monkey that could destroy 50 men. All right,
yeah, I mean,
your turn.
She's Beast Boy.
Yeah, she's Beast Boy. And he's over there. Make a bucket of pee. Like, that's the best he can do.
A bucket. Like, they had to get Gleek over to bring a bucket.
Oh, that's right. Gleek had to bring a bucket. Is Gleek in the comic?
I don't know, but if you look over at majorspoilers.com under the DC solicitations for February, we do have the cover image of that. And Gleek is, so it's both of them, like in high school, doing a fist pound. And Gleek is poking out from one of the lockers. And he is a much scarier looking space monkey than what you might remember from the cartoons.
Really?
where do I find this?
I'll find it.
His job has been upgraded from bucket carrier to force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's
as soon as I find it, I'll post the link.
Just stick it in the chat, in the Twitch chat. I'll click on that.
Gleek.
I mean, I'm weirdly want to kind of read it just to see what they do with it. And also now Snagglepuss is on my mind, and maybe I want to check that out.
A few years ago, Alex Ross did an April Fool's joke where he was talking about doing a really, you know, a typical Alex Ross painted style Wonder Twins.
Oh, was it like just an April Fool's joke or something?
Like it was, joke? But he did a cover for it, and it looked amazing.
Oh, I'm sure it did.
It was a comic I really wanted. Yeah, here we go. See, it was called Form of Water.
Really? It was literally called, yes. Form of Water.
Yeah, I'll put a link in the, here we go. It's in the
all right. Somebody, chat room. Okay, chat room. Here we go. Let's give this a look. Oh my gosh, look at that.
That's so Alex great. Ross, right?
Yeah, it's so Alex Ross.
Yeah, and then he did the, the one that I posted a link to underneath, which also has a scary looking Gleek.
I mean, he's a monkey. He's going to rip your face off.
Yeah, that's his job. Yeah. He knows what's up. Oh, exactly. Yeah, look at that. Oh, my gosh, that Gleek is really scary. I don't like it. Wow. Yeah, I mean, this is kind of just proof that if you put the right approach to something, you could maybe make something out of it, you know?
Yeah, I posted it there in the chat.
Okay. Oh, there's your article thing.
Yeah, there's the...
So this is the... look at that.
That's a freaky looking Gleek. It's almost like a human face with the... Mm-hmm. Looks like that guitarist from Limp Bizkit.
Yeah.
Who wore the contact lenses.
if you were a high school kid that was one of these two, would you walk around in your suit all day? Like, why wouldn't you just be like a teenager that day?
Maybe those are the only clothes they can afford, Scott. Come on.
All right. Yeah,
maybe this takes place on their planet with the lockers and superhero suits.
Somebody wrote on the locker back there, Zan sucks.
Well, I mean, he kind of does.
And then down there, loser twins. Look at that. Down in the corner there. Boy, this is not... this high school is out to get these two. Wonder what they'll do.
We'll have to find out in February,
I guess,
Scott?
So, yeah. We're going to find out. All right. Well, this is great and all. I wanted to ask you real quick, though, because we haven't really talked about it since this season began, but this season of Doctor Who, yes. with the lady doctor there.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't watched any of it, so I have no opinion. I planned to and didn't, but maybe I still will. But anyway, I know you've kept up, and you think they're doing something very interesting. I wonder what you mean by that. Explain.
Yeah, so this last Friday, the 24th, was the 55th anniversary of the first episode of Doctor Who appearing. So Doctor Who is 55 years old as a TV series. And the TV series originally got approval because it was going to have educational content for the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so in certain episodes, they would bring up things like, oh, here's a little historical thing, or here's a little science thing that will bring up information for you. And this season, I have not watched the latest one, The Witchfinders, but I'm caught up with everything else. And the episodes that take place on Earth in the past, so that would be the Rosa episode, which features Rosa Parks, and then the Demons of Punjab, which takes place during Separation Day between Pakistan and India, and I'm pretty sure The Witchfinders too, all bring in real historical events and talk about them in the show. So in a sense, this season, even though we have a brand new doctor here, it seems like they're making a nod back to the original very first doctor in that very first season, where they were putting real historical and educational information in the show. And I find that super fascinating.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting take.
It's like a quantum leap kind of turn, because they had the Rosa Parks episode earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only partway through the India.
Yeah, the Demons of Punjab.
Yes, exactly. I'm not. I'm probably about halfway through that episode, so no spoilers. But it's an interesting direction to take.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And I find it fascinating. And they've only done it on the ones where they've gone back in time on Earth, like the arachnids of the UK. Hey, if you're someone who has arachnophobia, you may not want to watch that episode.
Mm. Are there lots of bugs, lots of spiders?
Lots of spiders. In fact, there's a couple of spiders that are the size of buses that are running around and eating people. So.
Great. You know, the bigger they are, the less they scare
Also,
me.
That one, Scott, you may not want to watch because there's a subtle Trump jab in there for one of the characters, and that might set you off.
You think it'll trigger me? Is that what you think?
It might. It really might.
I don't mind. Listen, here's the deal about spiders. I just want to get this out there officially. I don't mind big ones, like when they get to be huge, like the size of a bus, who cares? Mm-hmm. It's when they're between the size of my fingernail and as large as a dog. That's my range where I have a problem.
Oh, there's a lot of them that are the size of a dog. And again, because they're bringing in science facts, even in the arachnids of the UK, they talk a lot about some of the spidery science stuff that you guys were talking about before, how humans are regarded as nothing more than giant rocks and those kinds of things in the episode. So there's some science in this stuff too.
All right. Well, I'm down with science. I like science. Science is great. Science is something I like to be blinded with. I like to be blinded with science.
Well, you might want to put on some sunglasses because I hear the future is so bright you might need to wear shades.
I've heard that also before. It's been a while though since I've heard it, but I'm glad you, another child of the 80s, could be here to remind us of that fantastic song all the way back in its day. Hey, real quick here before we go. I don't know if you guys did this, but in the Thanksgiving holiday, within about 24 to maybe 30 hours of time, I watched three John Hughes movies. For Thanksgiving, we watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles because
that's classic.
What you do, right? It's the only good Thanksgiving, maybe the only Thanksgiving movie ever, really. I'm sure there are others, but that's the one, right? Love that movie. Mm-hmm. Great. Watched it with my Korean brother for the first time. He'd never seen it, and he loved it. Anyway, then I watched Film Sack, and we watched 16 Candles for Film Sack, and that was fine. And then Kim had some people over, and everybody decided for some reason they wanted to watch Breakfast Club. I think maybe it was somebody else's first viewing or something. So we sat down and watched Breakfast Club, and I realized at the end of all this, I watched, you know, I don't know, close to, what would that be, 6 hours or
6 hours,
5 hours or whatever if you cut it down to 90 minutes, of John Hughes movies, and I had no intention of doing that, but I did it, and it felt great, and I have no regrets about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just throwing that out there because you two, you know, we're all from this age.
Totally, yeah.
This was our thing growing up, and...
Brian says totally.
Yeah, totally.
That was completely unplanned, too.
I think it worked well.
It was unintentional.
Oh,
it
fit right in. Nice job.
Totally.
So I wanted to tell you that and then also tell you that Major Spoilers is great and people should go there. It's at majorspoilers.com. You can follow them on Twitter at Major Spoilers. Is there anything going on the site you want to recommend right now between now and the holidays?
No, we've got some shopping guides. People are looking for some very specific things to buy for other fans. But hey, listen, both of my boys... I don't know if it's Thanksgiving related or weather related or whatever, but they both got bloody noses yesterday.
Oh, yeah, weird.
And it's really crazy when you wake up in the middle of your night, kids' faces covered in blood because they woke up with a bloody nose. But here's the thing. They didn't stay hydrated.
Oh, see, there's the trick. That's what you got to do every time. Oh, that's how it hangs up on us.
Wow, nice.
That's really good. Yeah, your kids, you don't want them to get bloody noses. My sister used to get them real bad, and they, the doctor told her she... had to get some surgery, so she eventually, not surgery, but she had a procedure done called, basically you cauterize the inside of your nose. So they go in there, yeah, they go in there and like just seal it all up because she just had constant nosebleeds all the time.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Weird. Did it affect anything else though?
No, just every morning she'd wake up and her pillow just be covered in blood.
Or she could still smell just fine, like everything else.
Everything else worked great. Her nose
isn't turning blue or something from lack of blood.
No, it wasn't like they checked for like weird heart conditions and all kinds of stuff, and it turned out to be none of that. It was just, I guess the membranes in her nose were just real thin or something. They did say it was probably related to the fact that when she was a baby and was growing up through her infancy in a orphanage, they feed them terribly. And she had... when she got to America, she had very bad malnutrition issues. So her feet, she had flat feet. She had some eye stuff. She, like other things that were caused that are caused by malnutrition or bad nutrition. Mm-hmm. And the doctor's theory, this may be one of those things. Like she may just, that may have come from that. But it felt like every other hour, Misha had like a handful of tissue in her face because she was bleeding again or whatever. So anyway, they eventually go in there and they burn it all shut, basically. They just cauterize the inside of your sinuses and your nose or whatever. And now she never has nosebleeds. And she's still, and everything's fine. It's like a normal thing, I guess. But anyway.
Huh.
There's a fun little throwback story about medical weirdness.
That's totally weird. Wow. Yeah.
And now, mashup.
Yay!
I haven't checked this. Oh, we do have a new one. 1599 through 1601 are the episodes. This is called... Saturday Night at Ibbitt's House. So let's see what's up with that. Enjoy.
It's 4 o'clock, time to do a shot of Fireball.
Yeah, it's an 80-year-old Hawkman going,
hey, Hawk girl doesn't want to make out with me anymore.
She's not my queen. It's
president for
Your Majesty, I wouldn't lean against that counter right there if I were you.
I may have seen.
You might get stuck if you know what I mean.
Spoilers.
Yeah, so we're doing the Harlem Shuffle with the hooker the night before the queen visits.
Yeah.
Why am I stewy all of a sudden? Brian, make sure you clean those glasses.
Let me see that footage.
Harrington, bring me the pen.
I need to see the heavily tattooed man gyrating to dance music and swinging from a cab.
I'm the queen, Philip. Philip, have you seen this 60 seconds of debauchery? Philip!
Since we're in the mode of personal hygiene, honesty, let's ask a couple of questions.
I am completely shaven down there, yes.
Oh, gosh, I didn't. That was not on the list.
Oh, sorry.
Jeez, Louisa, kind of a dictator dick butt.
Dictator dick. Yeah. That's my favorite kind of dictator.
Yeah, they're the best.
I really put the dick in dictator.
Right, always put a dick in dictator. I'm Jimmy Dean, and this is where my chub is. Look at my chub, everybody. I ain't doing that. Didn't you hear what's your name get on the TV and tell everybody vaccinations are giving you government blood?
Boobs slapping against each other and a toe mysteriously going into a butt for some reason.
Oh, geez. Great.
You don't actually see. You see the toe going between the cheeks, but not so into literally. The actual...
So literally, Saturday night at Ibbot's house is what you're saying.
It's literally Saturday night at Ibbot's house.
Sweet, toe up the butt. I look forward to it. Wow, I didn't know we were into the Ibbot's house thing, but I forgot about your toe up the butt thing from HBO.
I forgot about that too. Yeah, Sally Forever, everybody.
I did finish. Still funny. I finished that show that I recommended. Bodyguard.
Oh, just Bodyguard. Right.
Yeah, with Rob Stark and that in there. And I really, really, really liked that thing. I think it was great.
Very cool.
It's only six episodes.
I think our next thing is Making Murder. We finished Goliath season 2 yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Weird, right? Weird season.
Weird season. And especially that whole episode where he really doesn't know where he is, like where he's just trapped in that house with a bunch of Quentin Tarantino characters.
Yeah, it was a Tarantino episode. It's the weirdest
it
thing.
It totally was.
I still don't know how I feel about the season as a whole. I don't know. I can't tell because I think I liked it, and there's parts where I'm like, what are they even doing? What are they doing?
You know what? It's the characters that I just really like. Like Mark Duplass's character, I think is excellent and bizarre and so disturbing with his whole amputee fetish.
Yeah, and his old house built into his place that he can go have his fetish time.
Exactly.
He's
weird. But his assistant Patty, or his co-counsel Patty, I think is one of the best characters ever created for a TV show.
Yeah,
she's
just fantastic.
so good.
Yeah, she's really good. It just got into some weird territory, and I don't know. Different showrunner, I heard, so maybe the writing's weird. I don't know. But the characters are great. Keep going, Penny, on The Bodyguard. I thought it was awesome. I really liked it. It's very British. Everybody calls each other mum constantly, but it's really good. Okay. Well, that's the end of the show, you guys. I do have a quick couple emails to read. One from Jen. She sent this email to themorningstream@gmail.com. Says this: "Hey, Scott and Brian, I just listened to your Monday show, and you were talking about the lady filming at the funeral, doing the vertical versus horizontal, filming at a funeral in general."
Just filming at the funeral.
Yeah, we had lots of questions about that. But she says, "I agree that she should not have been filming vertically. That's incorrect. But I think filming at a funeral is a great idea. I would wager she was maybe live streaming. My husband's family recently had 2 people pass away. Both of the funerals were live streamed. We couldn't make it to either, as one was across the country and the other was poor timing with work, etc. But we were able to go onto Facebook Live and watch the funeral. I think it made my husband feel better to see it because I know he felt bad about not being able to be there. So live streaming a funeral gets a thumbs up from me." It's a yes from Jen. Yeah, I guess so. I hadn't really thought of that. But
I kind of mentioned that when we were talking about saying, you know, well, it's possible she was recording it for somebody who wasn't able to make it, and I think that's cool. I think really if I had my druthers, that would be something that the church would offer, like just a live streaming feed where you can watch the service, the funeral service there, as opposed to click subscribe on my Twitch page if you want to see more funerals.
Don't forget to bash and subscribe or whatever.
What is up, YouTube? Here's a new
what is up, it's your boy Dead Guy doing the thing,
right?
Another email from Terry.
Live streaming is kind of a funny good point, chat room. Live streaming, I guess it's dead streaming.
Oh yeah, dead streaming, duh, that's how it should be. Hey Scott and Brian, did you hear about these new Twitch music rules? We may have to talk.
Okay. I've not heard about them.
They're basically getting all YouTube on, not just me. It's like a brand new thing, and I'm concerned. Anyway, we'll figure it out. Hey, Scott and Brian, says Terry Z from Chicago. Concerning the continuing hot dog / roller discussion on Wednesday's program, Scott made an analogy of himself walking is what he meant. He put wailing. Walking on the earth from the perspective of him being stationary and the earth being the thing moving. Brian scoffed at this idea. I would like to use Einstein's 1905 special theory of relativity to point out to Brian that it is scientifically sound to analyze this using Scott's perspective of himself being stationary and the Earth that's moving. Love the show, though, Terry Z from Chicago. And Brian, you actually replied to this email. Would you like to express your your rebuttal here?
Absolutely. Terry, and then we've said this via email, I wasn't scoffing at Scott's analogy of the perspective of being him being stationary and the Earth basically being the thing that he's rolling with his feet as he walks. I was scoffing at the speed at which this would have to happen. Scott would have to be walking at just under 1,000 miles an hour for him to technically feel like he was stationary and the Earth rolling underneath him and the sun, you know, the sun moving, rising and setting around him and stuff.
Yeah, that's totally true. So, now, I would throw in real quick that the theory of relativity is this idea, though, that everything's, you know, that there's a relativity to every object, every dead space, everything has a relativity to it. Right. So me relative to the Earth rotating, the Earth relative to me rotating, mm-hmm. like all of that is true. But Brian has a point. If we're trying to measure the speed at which I am, the Earth rotates underneath me, I'd have to run a lot faster.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And you're absolutely correct about, you know, the I'm certainly not arguing with the theory of relativity on this one. So
no, it seems to be a good one that holds up all these years later.
Yes. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's something that kind of stuck with us. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for making us think a little more, Terry Z, about that whole thing.
Terry Z.
We're done. We're going to go now. We're going to go and do a day's worth of other things. It's going to be busy. Tomorrow, listen to this. After the show tomorrow, I go to the University of Utah, and I'm being asked, between two ferns style, I have to sit in front of a class of about 150 students and talk about working in the games business when it's in the periphery and not directly in games, if that makes sense. So cool. Podcasting, producing other content, whatever, around the games world, not necessarily making video games, but producing content around video games. So I'm going to be up there on stage. Corinne, who teaches this class, is going to be asking me these questions. And Carter is going to be in the class. It's one of her classes.
Gotcha.
150 kids in there. Now, I haven't done anything where I've taught or otherwise helped out with a class for my kids since Carter was 7. So when she was 7, I went to her elementary school and did a little art thing. Now I get to do it when she's 21 in front of her all of her college people. And I need to come up with some good ideas to embarrass her from up there. So I'm trying to think of some good embarrassing things I could say. I'm very excited about it. All right, Brian, we should get out of here. Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. You can go there to find everything you need to contact us, find us, get the show, get the archives. A reminder, if you're looking for old shows, more than 200 episodes old, we have an entire feed that is nothing but that. So with this feed that you get this on, if you're listening to the audio, you're getting the most recent 200 or so episodes. Then they fall off onto another feed so that this one doesn't get too gargantuan. Because that, you wouldn't believe how much money you start paying for feed downloads when they get that big.
Yes. So, oh, yeah. Well, plus RSS feeds break when you have too much stuff in the XML file.
Yeah, they start getting real unwieldy. Yeah, you can learn that. You can definitely learn that the hard way.
The longer your show notes, the sooner you have to do that. And that's why it's only like the last 10 episodes for CoverFill.
Yeah. So
12 or 10 or 12.
I probably should do something closer to that, but I've got TMS with 200 in it. Seems to be working okay, but
that's cool. That's a smart way to do it. And I probably should do the same thing for CoverFill because people can't access those old feeds without either buying the DVDs or just manually downloading each episode from the website.
Yeah, and the reason I did it this way was I knew if I didn't do it this way and start dragging them over manually, it was going to be I'd have to recreate them, and I'm not going to do that. So
So
I grab them, move them over, and put them on that feed. So if you're interested in that, that's all at frogpants.com/TMS as well. I don't know why you'd want to go back and listen to everything from 2011 forward. You're crazy and insane, but I know some people do, and that's great. And we love you for it, but feel free to do what you got to do. Another reminder, this show is produced in an enormous part on the backs of our listeners. Patreon.com/TMS. And if you haven't done it before, consider it, especially this time of year. We could really use it. Head on over there. Drop $1, $2, $3, whatever you feel good about. Here's the thing. We were dumb when we set this up. Everybody else has a per show thing. But Brian and I did it wrong, and we did it so that it's a month. You pay monthly. So you pay Let's say you pay $1 a month, you get 16 episodes of a podcast.
Right.
Of tons of content for $1. It's ridiculous. What did we do? What were we thinking? It's so dumb. But we're not going to change it now, so go take advantage of us, is what we're saying.
Yes.
Go throw down $1 or $2, and you look at all you get for the month. It's redonkulous. But we appreciate all your support. Thanks, everybody who already does, and if you haven't, consider it. All right. We're out of here now. Brian, song time thing deal?
Yes, sir. Right. Reg from Chilliwack, BC, wrote in and said, "Hello, Masters of the Wind, Skal Akir and Bral Akir. Whoa. I'm quite excited for the WoW patch 8.1 for many reasons, like incursions and dwarven heritage armor, etc. Anyhow, I would like to request a song to add to the hype. The song is called Master of the Wind by Manowar. I know of a version by Van Canto, a band that Brian turned me on to. Wink, wink. But if you know of another, please feel free to share. The song isn't really WoW related. However, it does have a verse that directly references what I get in the end after downing a raid boss. Listen for it, and you might definitely see why I like it. Cheers, mates. Signed, Reg." Mm. Yes, we're not. Yeah, we're not going to make you pay per show. No, that's, no. There's still discussion of that. We're not making you pay per show.
Right.
All right. This is Master of the Wind, originally done by the band Manowar, covered here by Van Canto. I'd never heard the original on this, but this is really cool and some beautiful. Kind of elfin vocals that I think people are going to really like. The band again, Van Canto, song Master of the Wind, going out to Reg.
All right, we'll see you guys tomorrow. Come on back, same time, same channel. We'll see you then.
In the silence of the darkness, when all are fast asleep, I live inside a dream, calling to your spirit as a sail calls the wind. Hear the angels sing far beyond the sun, across the western sky, reach into the blackness. Find a silver line in a voice I whisper. Candle in the night, we carry all our dreams on a single beam of light. Close your eyes, look into the dream. Winds of change will win.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Oh, yeah?